And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, February 20th, 2020, and the date right out, 022020. How about that, Butch?
I like that. You almost write a song like that. That sounds good. Got a good rhythm going there.
Yeah, how about that? So when I finish this career, I'll go into that one.
There you go. How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy day and hectic day, but it's been a good day.
Well, that is good.
The ladies work with me in the office here. I give them a hard time, but they're a bunch of fine ladies. They really are. I give them a hard time, but they give me a hard time, too, so it's fair, right?
It's fair, I guess.
But they are fantastic ladies to work with. They really are. But anyway, you go ahead.
All right. Well, what was fantastic today in my world was gold. Gold in the New York spot price aftermarket right now. Gold is up $740 at $1,619.70. So we're just going to round it out to $1,620. We had a high for the day of $1,624. White metals didn't do as well today. Silver was down 7 pennies at $1,844. Platinum was down 28 at $983. Palladium was down 14 at $27.51. The USDX today was up 0.27, 99.87. So another great day for gold, with the dollar still gaining, you know, some incredible strength here. And I get that the dollar is weak and it, you know, is only worth less than 5 cents, but overall, in the basket of currencies, it is gaining strength. Crude oil is up 0.48 at 53.77. Paper markets today, you had the Dow. It was early morning trade was down over 300 points. They brought it back. You know, it's still down less than 0.5%, but it was down 129 points at 29,218. And the NASDAQ was down 66 points at 9,750. S&P was down 12 at 3,373. 10-year yield is still holding at that 1.52 area, 1.52% on the yield. And then 10-year euro is still holding 108. The Asian markets, European markets were down, but slightly. Nothing drastic by any means. And again, that is pretty much, you know, all eyes today were, you know, all the news today was all based on pretty much two things, Butch, and that was the debate last night, and of course Roger Stone gets his 40 months in prison sentence. So but other there's a lot of things going on. We're going to talk about that here in the program.
Absolutely.
We have Walmart workers. There was a report out by 247.
By the way, before we move into that, Melody, who's the news saying won the debate last night?
They're saying Bernie did.
Okay. That didn't surprise me. Okay.
Yeah. All right. He said, I watched some of it. I can't stomach much of it.
Well, I believe
but
that.
But I watched some of it, and I just don't get it. At least Bloomberg called him out as a communist. And, of course, the audience
called Bernie that?
Yeah.
He did.
And at least, huh?
He did.
He did?
Yes. All right.
But the audience booed, and, you know, they didn't like, Bernie. And, of course, they always try to compare Europe's socialism, you know, why it's such a good deal. And, you know, people really don't get. There is no comparison. You know, you can't compare the United States. I mean, basically, we're socialist to some degree. I mean, we're a large part of
a socialistic
nation. But we're not Europe. You know, they always go to Denmark and all these other little European. They got like 6 million people. You know, they don't have the. They don't. Their governments aren't spending $1 trillion for military expenses, for the military. I mean, there is no comparison. You can't take this country down the same lane as, you know, what something might be successful in some of these little countries. And that's the same way, and I'm not going to get into this topic, but the drug the legalization of drugs and everything. You can't compare those little countries with the United States and what's happening here. You know, these are total apples and oranges. But that's what, you know, folks do anyway. But yeah, I was surprised with that. And I tell you, Elizabeth Warren, she's a nasty, she's, you know...
Did she show her collars last night?
Huh?
Did she show her collars last night?
Some people might call her a fighter, but I thought she was nasty. But that I guess to be a politician in Washington, you have to be nasty. I don't know. I'm not there, so... But it was interesting. They were just... for the little bit that I watched, they were just at each other's throat, basically calling each other names and, you know, this and that. So I don't know how successful it was. The commentators, I turned it off because the commentators just really lost control. I mean, it was, but they had a huge viewing last night. They had a very large viewing.
Well, so, this is only the beginning.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning. What was going to look like another 2 months, 3 months down the road?
I don't know.
When do they have the convention?
July, I believe.
That's what I was thinking. So they got another 3 or 4 months to go.
Okay. Super Tuesday's next Tuesday.
Should be very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah,
Super Tuesday, I think, is 2 Tuesdays away.
Okay.
So it might settle down after that. I don't know, but. But, you know, we've talked about the apocalyptic retail, what's going on in the retail markets. And the Washington Post has speculated that Walmart and their new Great Workplace plan is going to trigger job cuts among hourly supervisor and assistant store manager positions. And based on Walmart's store footprint, of almost 4,800 locations in the United States, these job cuts almost certainly will be in the thousands. So this is coming from the Washington Post, and they're speculating, and Walmart released their new Great Workplace plan, and it will trigger job cuts. And I was reading this article. They need to improve their margins. The revenue in the United States rose about 1.9% in the most recently reported fiscal quarter, but their operating income fell 12.7% to $4.4 billion. Their e-commerce sales rose by 37%, but analysts are suspicious that Walmart loses money in this part of the business. Also, Amazon is well ahead of its revenue, which means that Walmart will continue, their losses will continue. But what's interesting, I thought that, you know, Walmart is in a position better than any other large retailer that faces this retail apocalypse. And, you know, it has an ironclad balance sheet. Revenue is still rising, although a little bit slowly. It has a merchandising buying power that cannot be equaled. And yet, all that good stuff, none of these will protect workers from the management's strategic moves. So, you know, in today's world, a company is never good enough anymore, I believe, Butch, that they're always looking to cut corners, cut costs, increase all for the shareholders, and the shareholders want more and more and more.
Sure.
And that means less and less employees.
Well, it makes you wonder, are they doing it out of greed or out of necessity or both?
Probably both. You know, they need you know, they're buying, they're slipping. You know, they want to improve their margins.
Oh, sure, of course.
You know,
that makes common sense, at least to a point.
Well, but that's what every company does. They always want to improve their margins. So they're having their operating income fell, but the revenue in the U.S. rose. But, you know, and I think they're still adjusting to their e-commerce sales. So, and they're losing a little bit of money in that area. So they're, you know, maybe they have to grow into it. But the fact of the matter is, they're still going to be laying off thousands. is what's predicted by the by their great workplace plan. And remember, Butch, remember, it was all about, oh, Walmart's going to $15 an hour.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to do this and they're going to do that and on with the new this and that. Oh, it's going to be, it's all image building, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line is people lose their jobs. So that's
and,
what happened.
And I don't know, I mean, with this company that size and they're going that direction, what the little guy's going to do? I mean, if they, I mean, it's, well, it's not looking good for especially for brick and mortar stores. It's not looking good.
No, you know, it Walmart isn't. will fare a little bit better. You know, they'll be able to, you know, but so that, I thought that was interesting today, and there was a little report of we might put this in the newsletter. It's probably a little lengthy to talk about on the program. But it was about who's buying the U.S. debt. You know, who's buying the $1.3 trillion in debt that the government has added to the $23 trillion pile in 12 months. And, you know, we just continue to see them breaking the debt ceiling. And, you know, and they just keeps going higher and higher. And the writer on this program from Wolf Street, Wolf Richter, he says, at $23 trillion, he says, you got the debt out of the wazoo, which is true. And so maybe we'll put that in the newsletter because it gives a little bit of a breakdown on who's holding our debt. And we're beholden to them.
If they don't, if they could, if they didn't, what would happen?
If what?
If they didn't hold the debt, what would happen? If someone didn't absorb it, what would happen? It'd fall.
We'd default.
So how much longer can they keep soaking that in? That's a question, isn't it?
Well, you have the government who continues to buy. I mean, U.S. government entities, they bought $178 billion in treasuries in 2019. You know, the entities include, you know, the Social Security Trust Fund. Isn't that grand? You know, that's what's going to happen. They'll just let the bonds go belly up, and then they'll have a reason why Social Security crashed instead of poor management out of the government and IOUs. You know, I mean, it's just all they're doing is robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Well, you know, you have to give them an A plus for what we're looking for trickery and being able to figure out ways to keep this going. They've been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. They do it more and more all the time, but they always seem to find some way to keep it there, you know, more or less looking good on paper anyway. So they have been really intelligent and sly when it comes to keeping the things moving, looking good on paper. Let's like the stock market. It looks great. They keep it pumped up and moving. Like the banks, they keep putting money into them. So it all looks good. And everybody's still going out and buying and selling, Melody. But the foundations are being undermined every day. And eventually it's going to blow. It has to.
The U.S. government, just in 2019, as I said, bought $178 billion in treasuries. Bringing their total holdings to $6.03 trillion. Our government and these entities include, as I said, the Social Security Trust Fund, government pension funds, and their treasury securities. And it just boggles the mind to the degree, I mean, even the Federal Reserve only has $2.54 trillion. The government has $6 trillion. And, you know, people who have pension funds, the government pensions, the Social Security, these are our so-called assets. And yet everybody knows the government, you know, if rates go up, which they're, you know, and that's what was happening. Rates were going up. They couldn't pay anymore. I mean, Butch, doesn't anybody see the web? Doesn't anybody see how this cannot go on. And anybody who has pensions, retirement accounts, where they hold, and not just government pensions and retirement accounts, what, 30, 40, 50% is in treasuries?
Well, you
and
know
that's the biggest bubble that ever was.
It really is. And I have an article here that I want to share, too, on Zero Hedge. Just a minute. The magic is gone. Retirement will be different going forward. And you know they've been increasing retirement age, what, over the last 20 years? They keep inching it forward a little bit. But back then, or back, I should say they're inching it back. Back then, it was common for someone to work for only one company, starting at age 18, retire at 65. You took your pension and gold watch and went home, sitting on the front porch rocking chair. Those are good old days. But those times are long gone. The magic of retirement age of 65 isn't so magical anymore. The workforce is getting more gray hair as Americans continue working into the 60s and into the 70s. And I know one that works into the end is 80-some years old right now. Social Security hasn't considered 65 at full retirement age for a long time. The last workers who received full Social Security benefits at that age were born in 1937. For people born in 1938 and beyond, full retirement age has been increasing by 2 months per year up to those born in 1960 and after, with full retirement at 67. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in 2016, almost 27% of all Americans between 65 and 74 were still working. That's projected to exceed 30% by 2026. The number of people 75 and older who continue to work has grown from 6.4% in 2006 to 8.4% in 2016. It's projected 11% by 2026. And I understand that. I still work. I still work part-time. I'm 71 years old. I'm still working part-time. I enjoy working part-time. I do, but let's face it. The extra money is good. It's good to have it. It's good to have it coming in. But eventually, Melody, if they keep moving the retirement age up, then people keep working to their, well, actually going to work till they die. It's coming down that sooner or later. You're going to work until you die. You're not going to have any choice. You know, and it's not just here, it's around the world. You know that to be true, too.
Yeah, but the problem is we're going to work until we die, but they're going to accelerate our deaths.
No, that's very true.
That's the problem.
You know, I know we're going to break in a second, but I would like to share, if I could, a brief little article here from Russia, and a lady asking Putin a question about how can she live on what she makes. And when I read this, I thought, it's no different Russian is here. People are struggling to make it. And the bureaucrats are making it quite well. The servants far outlive the master, don't they?
Certainly
do. Living financially, they really do.
And I do hear the music, so we are heading into the break, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these radio programs live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time or the archives. And we got the best prices in gold and silver across the country. And our service is great. We're wonderful, and we treat you wonderful also. So we have a lot of information, and it just is just... I just continue to hear all kinds of various advice, various opinions. Everybody has a right to their opinion. I don't have a problem with that. But so many people are being led down the wrong path, but this is what's going to happen when we see the price of gold and silver rise. You see people come in from all over the place. All of a sudden, there's this new interest. All of a sudden, you hear these names that you haven't heard, because, you know, when gold and silver's not doing well, a lot of people just disappear because they're on to something else. But then just as soon as gold and silver comes back, they come back into the market, and all of a sudden they're the new expert, and they know this and they know that. And, you know, they were never to be found in the 90s. They were around, but they told people not to buy silver. They told people not to do this, you know. And, you know, they only want to be right. They only go to the markets that are going up, and then and they're the experts. And it's just frustrates me, because a lot of their information is correct, that they're basing their, you know, their, I don't know what you want to call it, their, you know, the information that they provide, it's correct. But then when they start giving advice on what to purchase and how you should purchase it, and you get paper products and mining shares, and it's okay to own that stuff, but just don't be misled into thinking that it's going to provide you with gold, because they don't. And just make sure you have the same amount of gold as you do in your paper products. And I hear all the glory about, and it's great when they're going up, but just get your insurance on your wealth. And it's the same thing as buying your house. If you have and I repeat this story many times, or my example, you have a $250,000 home, why would you insure it for 10%? Silly. You wouldn't. You don't. So why would you do that with your wealth? Why would you only insure it for 10 or 15%? No, you want to insure it for replacement value. And that's how you look at gold. Gold is your replacement value on your wealth. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. There's all kinds of strange things out there, Butch, and I don't even know where to...
Well, there are.
And you know what's interesting now?
Go ahead.
You know, we talked, I think, this week about the so-called fiscal party. Supposedly, the Republican Party was always the party of the fiscal hawks and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and now all of a sudden, a few of them are beginning to squeak. And it just cracks me up, because they just, Mulvaney says his party is very interested in deficits. They're only concerned about the deficits when there's a Democrat in the White House. It doesn't matter when there's a Republican in the White House. It doesn't make sense, Butch. They're all nuts.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. And I've looked at these so-called gold shares and different things and that you can buy, and they say you have a certificate of so much worth and whatever. I'm not saying they're trying to cheat you. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is I want it in my hand. If they're going to do a gold certificate, I want to turn it in. I want the gold. Just give me the gold. And give me the silver, whatever it is. Give it to me so I can have it in my hand. Your certificate, maybe you may have all intention in the world of honoring that certificate. But if you go belly up, you can't honor it, can you?
No.
So the common sense to me is get it in your hands and you know you got it. But the article I mentioned here before we went to break, I thought this was interesting because you feel for the lady is talking to the president of Russia, but then you realize that this is the same thing in America. The whole world is kind of in the same boat. But Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday faced what appeared to be a rare unscripted grilling from a Russian woman who asked him how much he earns and whether he could live on her income of $170 a month. Now, that's what she gets. While visiting her native city, his native city of St. Petersburg, Putin had laid a wreath at a political mentor's grave, was approached by people passing by who filmed him on cell phones. A woman is in a hooded coat pushed through and immediately asked Putin, "Please tell me, is it possible to live on 10,800 rubles a month? That's 170 bucks." And Putin said, "I think it's very hard." He said quietly on the footage, "Your pay is probably about 800,000 rubles, I imagine," she says, which by the way is $13,600 a month. "Well, yes," Putin says, while adding that some in Russia earn far more. The president doesn't have the highest salary. The woman, who said she is studying bookkeeping and lives on disability benefits, went on to talk about everyday costs, apparently doubting Putin's knew the figures. She said a trip to the grocery store is at least 1,000 rubles. She said, "Well, utility bills for a flat cost of about at least 4,000 rubles." And she went on and said, she went on to ask more questions, and he said, "Well, we have a lot of social problems, and we're trying to solve them. Just a regular politician, as far as that goes." And the woman said, "Well, why don't you solve them then?" He said, "We are solving them. But I see that as just another candidate for office, whatever. Just telling, hey, we're working on it. We're doing the best we can." Well, this lady's trying to get by on $170 a month, and he's making $13,500 a month or whatever. There's no comparison there, Melody. And how can someone with that much difference in salaries understand someone trying to get by on $170 a month?
You know,
you see what I'm saying?
A little bit of the debate that I watched last night when Bernie Sanders went after Bloomberg. Of course, he went after his money. They both did, Warren, and went after his billions of dollars. You know, and he tried to defend it by saying, you know, that's you know, capitalism. That's, you know, hey, I was poor, I worked hard, and that was, you know, that was the American dream in America. If you work hard, you succeed. But what no one is addressing, and of course Bernie and Warren just want to take his billions of dollars, and I'm not supporting Bloomberg whatsoever. He's a dangerous man. But the point is, no one is addressing why people are having a hard time. You don't take somebody else's money to pay for somebody else. And the point of the matter is, it's not the dollar is buying less. That's why people aren't getting ahead. You could raise their wages to $20 an hour. It's not going to help. So how much are you going to take? Other people shouldn't pay for other people's livelihoods. It's about working, but when you work, those dollars need to buy something. And it's that simple.
Well, if they were backed by silver or gold, if they were backed by silver or gold, they would buy something.
They would buy something. They could get by.
If they're real dollars,
they'd
buy something. Yes.
They'd have a better standard of living. But no one addresses that because they can't. Because they're all guilty of throwing this country away into debt. Republicans, Democrats, And everybody wants every... Well, we makes like it, right? And we want this country to be just like it is now. Well, to keep this country like it is now, they're going to put you further and deeper into debt and take away more of your liberties and rights and freedoms. Jeez, Louise, Butch.
Well, I ask people this sometimes when we talk about money. And I talked to a lady who works at a bank the other day, and she was very interested, by the way. She took your name and number. Interested in what I was talking about. And I showed her a silver dollar, and I said, now, this is worth $20. It's worth doing right now, but I said $20. I said, let me ask you a question now. Would you prefer to make $100 a day in Federal Reserve notes or 10 of these a day? She said, well, of course, 10 of those, that's worth $200. But I said, how many people know that? How many, if you lay them down side by side and say you give 100 of these or 10 of these, how many would know what silver was and what's worth? Mm-hmm. I'd say, what, less than 5%? Mm-hmm. Maybe 10% if we're lucky. Because no one knows. To them, it's just a round medallion. It means nothing. But $100 in fiat currency compared to $10 in real money, you double your money with silver, obviously. But the American people don't know that. She wouldn't know that if I hadn't told her. She works at a bank. She had no idea. If I hadn't told her, she wouldn't have known what I was talking about at all. If I didn't have it in my hand to show her, she couldn't comprehend what I was saying. That's the reason we're in this mess. People are ignorant of the truth. We've been deceived for so long into thinking that the green piece of paper is real money that we can't comprehend the fact that we have fiat currency not backed by anything, and silver dollars are real money. But people have a hard time understanding that. They just don't get it. So this is where we are. Ignorance, the Bible said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ignorance has destroyed us, Melly. We've been deceived in this country for a long, 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 long time. And American people as a whole, even if you tell them right there and look at my eyeball to eyeball and show them this, a lot of them just kind of get glazed over or shrug their shoulders, and they don't really care. That is the part that frustrates me, because you show them the truth right in front of them. You can show them the Constitution, what it says. You can show them the Bible, what it says. And they still don't care. That is so sad.
It is sad, but you know, I think lots of times maybe it isn't even, you know, whether they don't care or their lives are just, I mean, there has been a dumbing down. I mean, we know that. Look at our schools. We talk about that, you know, how many years. But they do have busy lives, you know, and it is sad that it's one thing not to know, but it's another thing once you do know, and you're right, they don't do anything about it when they could.
Well, see, that's the difference between ignorance and stupidity. And I'm saying this politely. Ignorance can be cured. Stupidity's forever.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. But, you know, another article here, too, that this should make us pay attention. We have the largest shipping decline since 2009, and that's before coronavirus even was mentioned. The cash freight shipping index is down about almost 10%, 9.5%. And that doesn't include the coronavirus. That's going to hurt it even more now. But shipping is a gauge of world prosperity, is it not?
Of course.
So if it's down almost 10%, and that's not counting the coronavirus now, which is hurting a lot of people, especially China, and now it's hurting Hong Kong, it's hurting Japan, it's hurting South Korea, with all these things coming down, the yen has crashed to near record lows against gold. It's not just here in America. This is around the world. That's why folks buying, they're even saying in Japan you need to buy gold, because the yen is crashing. I don't know how much more we can say about this. If it's not just Melody Cedarstrom or Pastor Butch Paul saying, hey, look into this, it's happening, and other people in other countries realizing maybe we should get out of the yen, maybe we should get out of the peso and buy something worth of value. So this is not just America. This is a worldwide economic, I hate to use the word downturn. It's almost like a depression, but it's worldwide. And you know, we got an article here too that Hynix, by the way, you know, the chip maker SK Hynix, a key Apple supplier, reported Thursday that a trainee tested positive for COVID-19 at the Aishan, South Korea facility. So they told 800 employees to stay home, not to return to work. And quarantine themselves in their homes to make sure they don't spread the disease. So iPhone, that's a big supplier for iPhones. People are going to start noticing things when the iPhone doesn't work, or they can't get their antibiotics at the doctor's office, or insulin is just getting scarce. They're going to notice it. Right now, they're not paying attention to it, but they're going to notice it when it starts happening here. Any comments on that?
No. You said it all.
You know, it's what's the old saying? You don't miss the water till the well goes dry. You know, and that's what's happening. The well's drying up. It's around the world, but America has so far been truly blessed to not get the brunt of all this as it has in other countries. But it is coming around our turn. What goes around comes around. It's coming our way. So I was so much talking. I didn't mean to take over. You go ahead.
No, I'm going to go back to your shipping thing. You know, I looked up what the Baltic Exchange Dry Index was, and the index has been trading below 450 in February. Now this is the lowest level since March of 2016, and for all the reasons that we've been talking about in the dry bulk index. Is like everything else, even the trucking, the shipping. These are all early indicators of slowing global growth. This, the dry bulk index, plunged by over 83% since early September.
Wow.
You know, and they're including the trade war between the U.S. and China, now with the coronavirus outbreak. You know, has weighed on, exports and manufacturing, higher fuel costs and so forth. But the last time it fell by 90%, guess what? In just a few months, the Great Recession began, 2008. So again, these are all indicators, ladies and gentlemen. It's just we're not making these up. We're not going through the news to find the worst news we can find to bring it to you. These are the things that Fox News should be talking about. These are the things that Wall Street should be talking about. These are the questions that the commentators last night on the debate should have asked those politicians questions about this. But nobody wants to upset the apple cart. It's going to get upset anyway. They don't, let's take that apple cart down the road as far as we can go before it overturns. So anyway, we're overturning into our break. Butch, that went by too fast.
Yes, it did.
We'll be right back. Hope these commercials go by just as fast.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. It's 800-375-4188. But you want to talk about locusts?
I do. Uganda.
It's fascinating.
It is. I've watched a video. And I mean, when you got groups of locusts, I think they said 30-some miles long and 25 miles wide swarm. Ooh, that's a lot of grasshoppers. It says Uganda Army fights for ferocious desert locusts. It says Otuk, Uganda. Under a warm morning sun, scores of weary soldiers stare at millions of yellow locusts as millions of yellow locusts rise into the northern Ugandan sky, despite hours spent spraying vegetation with chemicals in an attempt to kill them. On the tops of shade trees, fields of pea plants, and tall grass savanna, the insects rise in a hypnotic murmuration, disappearing quickly to wreak devastation elsewhere. The soldiers and agriculture officers, officials will now have to hunt the elusive fast-moving swarms, a sign of the challenge facing the nine eastern African country now battling huge swarms of hungry desert locusts. They arrived in the conflict-torn south of Sudan this week, with concerns already high of a humanitarian crisis in a region where 12 million people are going hungry, according to the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. So, yeah, that's serious. And China, people may laugh about this, but hey, it may work, you never know. China sends an army of 100,000 ducks to border to fight locust plague from Africa. A plague of locusts that has devastated East Africa reached the coronavirus-stricken country earlier this week. Says we will use, Chinese authorities and residents in China released duck troops ahead of a swarm of locusts approaching China from the India-Pakistan border. This bizarre footage shows a legion of duck troops that have been deployed in China to fight a swarm of locusts head on. The plague of locusts, which has wreaked havoc across East Africa, has now reached China's Xinjiang border in the far west of the country, where it meets Pakistan and India. Pakistan declared a national emergency due to potential food shortages when Prime Minister Imran Khan called it the worst locust attack in decades. In an impressive video shared by the state-run Chinese news site CGTN, thousands of ducks are seen marching down a road to face and then eat the enemy. India and Pakistan, and it looks like they really are having trouble just keeping food on the table because the locusts eat them. The coronavirus, the locust plague, all these things make you wonder if we're not watching biblical prophecy being fulfilled like never before. I mean, really, think about it. That's amazing. And in South Korea, because of coronavirus deaths, the city faces unprecedented crisis. This is in South Korea. So, I don't know, Melody. I mean, how severe can this be? I mean, the city in South Korea, they ask them to please stay in home. Don't go outdoors. Stay in the house and to try to keep from being infected or infecting anybody else. So I just don't know. It's just, is this as bad as we're being told it is? I mean, if it is, this has got to be, especially for China right now, this has got to be some kind of record plague over there. This is going to be almost a record. How many million people are already quarantined? 80 to 100 million people quarantined in their homes in China. People can't work. The economy's dropping. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
You know, again, this is just something we're just going to have to wait and see what happens come April. But, you know, I turn back to you have all these European countries that are already having pressures. You already see declines prior to the release of the information of the coronavirus. Last quarter, fourth quarter, all stats are down. You know, Japan is down, China's down. They're all pumping money into the system to try to get it reignited, to keep it going once again. So that's where I'm interested in. And I mean, I think what they're doing, I think they're, it seems to me like they're controlling it enough that, you know, I don't think there's going to be a pandemic. Certainly could break loose, but I mean, it's, I don't know. I would think that the numbers would be far more severe if we were in a true, what I would view as a true pandemic, global. I would think the numbers would be a lot higher.
I don't know. But you know, the world's problems are not getting any better in a lot of areas.
No.
And they just aren't. I mean, 2 years after handing it the biggest ever bailout loan, IMF finds Argentina debt levels are unsustainable. Yeah. Back in summer 2018, folks, that's not been long ago, when the IMF handed Argentina an unprecedented $56 billion bailout loan, the largest in IMF history, some warned that this was a case of deja vu, similar to the bailout 2001-2002 precedent when Argentina eventually defrauded on its foreign creditors, while humiliating the IMF, which had signed off on Argentina's economic policies that ended up in a bankruptcy court. The IMF, however, was confident that this time would be different and rushed under now ECB head Christine Lagarde to hand to Argentina the greatest amount of money the IMF has ever dispersed to a struggling nation. It turned out that this time wasn't different, and after completing a week of meetings in Argentine, the IMF, which is so generously handed out other people's money to prop up the crumbling, corrupt Latin American nation, less than 2 years ago, finally threw in the towel, amid the Argentina's debt load is unsustainable, paving the way for the government to ask private bondholders to take on losses as prepares to renegotiate its obligation. Now, two points here. They loaned other people's money to prop up a nation that's just collapsing. It was going to collapse anyway. And now they're going to ask private bondholders to take on the losses. Melody, how's that going to work?
It's always seemed to work in the past to some degree. That's what they do. It's no surprise.
So they pass it on to the poor old stockholder and taxpayer, right?
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
they don't
do
anything about it. They just do it. They do as they're told. So why wouldn't they?
They did the same thing here in 2009, didn't they?
They did.
You know, and that was promised never to happen again, right?
And the thing about it is they brought the stock market back. You have the Dow basically approaching 30,000, the NASDAQ approaching 10,000. That's made a lot of people happy, and that's good. I mean, I'm glad that if they have their retirement accounts and so forth, and things are going well for them, they're getting great dividends, and, you know, they're making money. But the problem is, when people make money, and particularly when they're gambling like they're gambling with the paper markets, they don't do anything about it. They just let it ride. Then they end up losing. Winning streaks come to an end. They don't go on forever. But, you know, the stock markets were a payoff to the citizens, to where the government could bail out the multinational banks and the multinational corporations, the too bigs to fail, whatever you want to call them. So,
well, do you remember back in the 80s when the government bailed out Lee Iacocca?
Mm-hmm.
The Chrysler, remember they bailed him out? And
yeah.
I thought it was awful then. I was not involved this much. I didn't understand what I know right now about the economy. I didn't understand about the dollar. I didn't. But even I back then realized this is not right. The taxpayer should not have to fund a corporation, a company, that lost its ability to produce a quality vehicle. And they did. That's why they started selling junk. I know that. Back then I was selling automotive parts on the road. Industrial supplies and automotive parts. I know what they were selling. And why should we have to bail somebody out that was trying to sneak slide by with producing inferior products and lose their shirt over it? Why is that my fault and your fault, Melody? I thought that back in the 80s. It's much worse today. In 2009, it paled in comparison what happened. I mean, the 1980s with Lee Iacocca, that paled in comparison to what happened in 2009. There's no comparison.
There's no comparison. And just think, if they would have just let things adjust, I don't know if it would be better today. But had they left things adjust back then, I can't imagine it would be as bad as it is today.
Well, either way, and this sounds cruel, but it isn't cruel. It's just the way it is. Free enterprise, real free enterprise, weeds out the weak, or inferior, I should say. Now, that may sound cruel, but it's just the way it is. Competition is good. Mm-hmm. Monopolies are not. But competition is good. And whenever you have competition, the man who makes the better product, and maybe the fair price, is going to hang in there. But if they become greedy and start charging more money or the same money as everybody else and making an inferior product, they deserved to be out of business. That's just the way it is, people. And it's not our place to bail people out that do not want to produce a quality product. And but that includes the banks, by the way, too.
It's very true.
So, but I did find a place where I think is worthy of your presence in this little town in California. Mm-hmm. It's in America's richest town. $500,000 a year is now below average. So there you go, Melody. There's no
inflation in our money, is there?
No. You could easily drive through this leafy Silicon Valley suburb without realizing you were in America's richest neighborhood. From the road, it's all high brick walls and opaque gates. It takes Google Maps to get a glimpse of what lies behind. Satellite images of Atherton, California, where the average household income just blew past $500,000, revealed the sprawling home of tech billionaires and sports stars studded with tennis courts and pools. For the fourth straight year, Atherton topped Bloomberg's richest places in annual index. With an average household income of more than $525,000 a year, became the first and so far the only community to top the $500,000 mark since Bloomberg started compiling index in 2017. So there you go. You and Tom Guthrie get you a nice place and live happy.
We'll join you there.
Okay, I'll be right there behind you. I mean, think about that. The lowest income in town is $500,000, $525,000. That's amazing. But I have got some news here, too, from Norway. You might like this. After failing with worm burgers, Norwegian grocery chain to launch cricket burgers. I'm serious. It sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Supermarket Mini, M-E-N-Y, scrapped the idea of worm burgers after insufficient demand. I wonder why. But seemed convinced that they can stir up enthusiasm for people to chomp down on insects. It's difficult to see whether Norwegian consumers are more open to insects in a burger than bread, but the link to testing alternative protein sources such as insects is probably more closely linked to a burger, communications manager Mini Nina Horn Hines told, I can't read the paper name. According to the article, office staff at Mini were asked to try the cricket burger, and they found it very appetizing. It tastes good, says one employee, crunchy, but with a little unusual taste. And, you know, we say that, and we say it kind of jokingly, but a lot of nations have been for years actually eating crickets and other insects for the protein. So, and, you know, in the Bible, the John the Baptist eat honey and wild locusts, and that's a fact. They weren't locust trees, it was locust bugs. So, this is, you never know. Maybe one day you walk into Hardee's and give you a cricket burger.
I told you I ate a cricket.
You ate a grasshopper, didn't you?
Grasshopper, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing.
Are these crickets really, or grasshoppers?
These are crickets.
Crickets.
Yep. Ground up crickets.
They taste the same.
Okay. I've never tried enough to tell you
like
for sure.
Chicken.
So
it tastes like chicken.
Okay. But you know, I don't know. I mean, apparently the wild locusts were not bad for John, so I don't know. Maybe that's fry them up. I do know when I was in Vietnam and Thailand, one of the rare treats over there was a rice beetle. Now, a rice beetle is a big beetle. They would take a hollow pipe and plug it up, put the beetle inside it and plug it up in both ends and put it over a fire and roast that sucker inside that pipe, take it out and crack it open and eat it.
Did you do that?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't. But, they eat what they can find over there. And it really, I mean, you have to be there to appreciate it. These people would catch, in the rainy season, they had what we call them ditches. They call them clongs. along the roads, and they would take a net and catch anything to catch out there, little fish, whatever. And they'd eat that fish, eyeballs and all. I mean, these people eat with rice, of course. But they lived on that. And we here have become so spoiled. I mean, a lot of them lived in thatched huts. I was out there when they lived in the rice paddies, and they had bamboo floors and a thatched roof, and they were inside there eating and living just like you and I would in a 10-room house. That's how they lived. So apparently you can live on these things. They are.
Well.
And the Vietnamese kicked our butt eating rice and bugs, so what can you say?
Okay, well. Yeah. Any last...
Well, we'll close one last thing. Okay. Suffolk County, this New York, Suffolk County to attempt to ban smoking in private homes. They want to be the first one to legislate against smoking even in private homes. You can't smoke in public, but you're in a private home where they're multi-family dwellings, like condos or whatever, or apartment buildings. They're going to outlaw smoking in those buildings, period. So you won't be able to smoke at home or anywhere else. They won't be the first one in the country to take that step to protect people and the environment.
Isn't that special?
I thought you might like that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, Butch. 800-375-4188. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. It's real special that you take the time to spend the hour with us. We'll be back tomorrow, so until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.